Are you willing to accept Christ's invitation to know Him more intimately, love Him more intensely, and follow Him more closely, and then go out into the world and live His good news? If you say yes, then you could be the 13th apostle. Join Dan Duddy and Tom Caffrey, the odd couple of Catholic radio, as they ride the radio waves two by two to share the goodness, beauty, and truth of Jesus Christ and His church. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the 13th apostle.
Sanctuary. It was from the great movie Hunchback of Notre Dame, and with the character Quasimodo in France, and his great heroic act of rescuing Esmeralda from the scaffold and the ultimate hanging. And he swooped down in that great movie based on an even greater novel and brought her to sanctuary, in which you could hear in that scene him crying out to the world, but certainly to the law and to a lot of the people that wanted to see the hanging, you can't have her. She's now inside the loving, secure embrace of Holy Mother, the Church. This is Tom Caffrey, ladies and gentlemen, and you are listening to The 13th Apostle, where we explore the good, beautiful, and true of the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church. And I can't introduce you or bring in my partner, Dan Duddy, because he's away. He's basking in the sun and fun of the sunshine state, my dear great friend, brother in Christ. So we're going to explore this fascinating topic of sanctuary. And in the context, certainly the context of what we're going through now in the United States of America with immigration, ICE, agents and raids in workplaces and many public places to enable President Trump to fulfill a campaign promise to seal the border and to have mass deportation. So as probably many of you know, there's great controversy about this. And certainly with the way, depending on which media you're following, you read, listen to, or watch, you may be fully supportive of that effort, that campaign, or totally opposed to it. Or perhaps you're in the middle. And when I say in the middle, I don't mean undecided, that you perhaps think that, well, certainly hardened criminals should be deported. They should not be granted sanctuary in this great country. But you don't want families torn apart. You don't want children being separated from their parents or parent. So it's very complicated, as with so many things involving human beings. But the idea of sanctuary has a very long, we actually don't know how long because traditions of sanctuary, they go back thousands of years. Some people, historians, anthropologists, perhaps archaeologists, certainly scholars, they have there's evidence that this may be a prehistoric reality, part of which became part of most, if not every, human culture. I mean, it's traced, the word sanctuary is traced back as far as the Greek and Roman empires. And it's the thought or belief that persecuted persons should be given a place of refuge. So it seems to be fairly universal in the literature, a part of virtually all, maybe all, religious traditions throughout the world. In the books of Deuteronomy, Numbers, and Joshua, they refer to areas of refuge. So when God divvied up the promised land for the 12 tribes of Israel, only the Levites didn't get a parcel of land, a set aside parcel of land, because they had their priestly role and their need to oversee the tabernacle and worship. And they were the only ones who could carry the tabernacle. So they were given a different inheritance where they had access to 48 cities throughout the land. And of those 48 cities, six of them were designated, I'll say, as cities of refuge, or what we would call sanctuary cities. The names were Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, Bezer, Ramoth, and Golan. Even Bedouin cultures, they had traditions of taking of refuge. The word for that is Nazala, Nazaala. And so it indicates a strong tradition of sanctuary in that area, in the Middle East, Northern Africa. And we have in the Americas, we have North, Central, South America, we have evidence of similar practices. And this was especially so in the face of the European powers, the Spanish, the French, the English. So inter-tribe conflict was put on pause. It's kind of like the enemy of my enemy is my friend, or you have the common enemy, so we're gonna we certainly don't want them to have any advantage. So if certain tribes had to leave their ancient lands, their tribal lands, they would go to others. Ancient Greece had their pagan sanctuaries, Delphi, Acropolis, Olympia. The ancient Israelites, they had their sanctuary, the Holy of Holies in the temple, which was to hold the Ark of the Covenant. And as you're referring before to the Levites, so the Christianity has had the physical presence of God in its tabernacles. But those three examples, they're really for forming the basis for the sanctuary we're talking about. So in those three settings, that's really more, it were sanctuaries, sacred places for a sacred experience. Okay. But their holiness, their sacred nature, their sacred reality was, it's a place for devotion, worship, sacrificial offerings. In pagan cultures, it was all the culture, place of all the culture activities, politics, entertainment. So that's really more for the holiness of these places help form the basis for why one could have the second definition of sanctuary, which is a sanctuary from. And it's an amazing tradition. It's a beautiful tradition. Before you think that, okay, well, this is the place where people can get away with murder. I mean, in The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Esmeralda, in the movie played by the great and beautiful Maureen O'Hara, she was implicated in a murder. But that's jumping ahead a little bit. So if we try to get an idea of this change, this big change, and how we get from Greece, and then we have the ancient world, and then we have the Israelites, and then we have Christianity. You think of what St. Paul, what he accomplished with his effort at evangelization. When he crossed the Aegean Sea, when he went on his journey from Asia Minor over to Europe, this was, there were no bulletins, a small number of people knew about that. And I mean, he steps off the boat. It's possible that word got, somebody sent a letter of introduction, but still a small number of people knew. And yet here we are in the year of our Lord, 2025, and we still talk about it, that journey. And I've no doubt we'll talk about what St. Paul did and read about what he did in going to this pagan culture until the end of time. And it's, I don't know if there's any ranking of evangelizing endeavors, but I have total confidence that this one, St. Paul, ranks near the top. I mean, and we know this experience because St. Luke describes it in the 17th chapter of his Acts of the Apostles. And Bishop Robert Barron, he describes this as a masterclass in the evangelization of a culture. And Catholic historians describe it as one of them, which we can imagine is one of the most decisive events in human history. Because this is the introduction of Christianity to Europe and then eventually to the Americas, to what we have and who we are now. So, I mean, and Christian evangelizers always faced opposition and often found themselves in danger. And St. Paul is certainly no exception, as he writes about with everything he went through with these tortures and imprisonment and whatnot. And Paul can understand that because Paul was evangelizing the Greeks away from their pagan deities and toward the one true God who ultimately became one of them. These are shocking words to his audience and putting him in great need for sanctuary. But in this case, sanctuary from. So let's talk a little bit about church sanctuary. Sanctuary, the word is derived from the Latin sanctuarium. And typically with the word ending in arium, it refers to a container, some space that holds something special. And, in this context with the church, it's holy things and holy people, or people made that the church knows is made in the image and likeness of God. So it was, this meaning was extended and in took places of holiness for safety. And it's supposed to be independent of and immune from the temporal powers of the day. So, the temporal powers, it's the state, if we just put it that way, whether it's an empire, a republic, whatever it is, it's the local government. Now, but you go to the time of Constantine, so in the 4th century, and medieval church law, which is when it really took off, fugitives or those who were indebted to society, they were immune from arrest. And the ordinary operations of the law, these were holy places, and they were understood to be, accepted to be places that are sacred and inviolable. You couldn't enter them. You couldn't enter them. You could enter them to worship, but you couldn't enter them to take a person. So, the church sanctuary, as we know it today in the church, is that area. It's associated with the altar. So the altar table we've got in the churches, we have the tabernacle, the reserved hosts in there, But in the earliest safe spaces context of sanctuary, and refugees, so to speak, went there. And they were fugitives from justice. But, you know, one reason for this tradition, not the main reason, was that often there was cruel injustice, you know, on the part of the government or of the ruling class. And this principle offered protection from arrest, from punishment by the state until the end, which we'll get to. But, and it was this practice was recognized in Roman law. And so you could, an individual could go into a church and claim sanctuary. So once Constantine stopped the persecution of Christians and ultimately and manifestly made Christianity the official religion of the empire, it set into, and knowing how Christians were persecuted unjustly, the vast numbers of them unjust. Well, okay, that was the basis for, and you know, and the rationale for saying, okay, we're going to assume this person has some legitimate claim. It may be a small, end up being insignificant, but it's significant enough, and we know the history of persecution, so now we're going to give them a safe space. And many times these are people who actually were guilty of a variety of crimes, you know, theft, murder even. England had this practice of sanctuary. And, you know, this was strong throughout the medieval period and began to decline as the Renaissance started to kick in fully. And then there were significant restrictions on that claim, on the ability to claim that. You know, today, the concept of sanctuary has evolved. Now, maybe the state representatives think that the state or their cities in some of their cities are sacred places. In some ways, as a Catholic, I could say, okay, well, maybe if it's San Diego, St. James, okay. You know, all these, the City of the Angels, you know, so many of these Catholic names, I don't think the state, the politicians are thinking of that when they have sanctuary cities, but I can't judge them. I don't know. I don't know what's in their thinking. And certainly, but they have missed sanctuary cities for that, you know, provide safe spaces for immigrants. And, you know, the modern sanctuaries, they operate outside of the law, the frameworks of the law. And it's more of an activism. So it's an interesting dilemma in a way. Say, I mean, if you're in Milwaukee, okay, well, the church didn't say that's a sacred city. These are after Indian tribes. Okay, but they had their sacred tradition, as I mentioned before, of a sanctuary. And so things are not always what they seem at face value. So what's great is when you look at again, tying back to that's great story, the Hunchback of Notre Dame, and you see Quasimodo hold up the body of Esmeralda, the living body. You know, he saved her from the gallows. It's a dramatic scene. And if you watch it and you hear the music, you know, wow, every time I see that, I get goosebumps. It's just a beautiful, and knowing the concept behind it. But they're not getting away with the crime. But earlier I said that they're giving them sanctuary from the state wasn't their main reason. Their main reason was, as always, is conversion. So as the fugitive was under the protection of the Holy Roman Catholic Church, under the protection from the state penalties, you know, so the death penalty, allow them to claim sanctuary to help them to come to know God, to give them an opportunity to repent, to have the sacraments. You know, they could live in the cathedrals for a while, but nothing that I've read is that indicated that they could live the rest of their life. I mean, obviously, there's only so many people that could fit, no matter how big the cathedral is. Still, there's a lot of empty space in the cathedral between the floor and the ceiling. So, but again, the state couldn't come in and get them, which is what's happening now with the state going in. This is just a comparison between the two, and that the state can go into a church and grab the immigrant for a hearing, and then ultimately to deport. So I mentioned that they don't get away with the crime. In a way, they do from the standpoint of the state, but they, certainly in several countries, and England being a well-known one, they were exiled. So they got away from being executed. They didn't have to face this death penalty, but they had to permanently leave the country. They could never return. So that's difficult, like, now thinking, and you can understand why the passions run so high when families are broken up and the father is sent back. Well, let's assume he has no criminal record. And I understand people saying that, well, he does have a criminal record. Well, he broke the law to come into the country illegally. But my understanding is that's a civil penalty. That's a civil law that was broken, not a criminal law. But if you're saying, okay, we're going to deport this person permanently, but they got children in this country, okay. You look at the encyclical, Rerum Novarum. I mean, that's the basis of Catholic social teaching, and immigration is in that. So it's a big deal to be permanently exiled. Dante Alighieri of the Divine Comedy, the Inferno, the Purgatorio, and the Paradiso, he was permanently exiled from Florence, a place that he loved. It was devastating to him. And out of that devastation, we got one of the greatest epic pieces of literature in human history. So, you know, from a practical standpoint, the church knew what medieval prisons were like. I've been inside jails, not because I broke the law, but just for other reasons, and I don't ever want to be in one. I'm sure they were beautiful compared to what was the case in the medieval period. So, again, the main reason for sanctuary is conversion to Christianity. Confess their crimes, confess their sins, and then be prepared to give up your life as you knew it. All your possessions, money. You know, in a lot of places you could stay for, you were given sanctuary for up to 40 days. But, and you had a very simple, I'll use the word Spartan, existence. But once you were taken by ferry or ship, you cross the border, that's where your new life began. And you had no money, no possessions, no knowledge of that new land, that new country. That would have been very difficult, and it's very probable that they didn't have long lives after that. So, again, it's all, you did something wrong, you're going for sanctuary, you're going for help, you get it. You still have to pay a price. You have to do a penance. But hopefully, and this is true when we seek sanctuary in the confessional, that you have to leave your sinful ways behind. You can't stay who you were. So I hope you have a better understanding of this whole concept of sanctuary. And you keep that in mind when you when you read and listen to and you see what's going on today, repent, change your life, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Ah, beautiful. Sorry, Danny, you're not here. God bless you, brother. Coming up next is DeAngelis and then Your Prayer Intentions with Peter and Jemmy. This is WQPHradio.org. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for listening to The 13th Apostle with Dan Duddy and Tom Caffrey. For more information on Dan, visit his website at www.danduddy.com or email dcduddy@gmail.com. Tom's website is faithpilgrims.com or email trcaffrey@faithpilgrims.com. How about you? Will you be the 13th apostle?